is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yeah, it's time to empower, educate, and encourage all women to motivate you through whatever you've been going through. We can talk about it. We ain't passing no judgment. So don't be ashamed. It's all the same. Stay in your lane. Your lane. It's whatever your real life looks like. Stay in your lane. Come out the dark and don't be ashamed. Your lane. Let's have a conversation on what we face every day. Tune into your lane talk show. It makes us feel good just to know we're not alone. No more will we feel isolated and cast aside. I want you to come out the dark. Just don't be afraid of your heart. So don't be ashamed, it's all the same. Stay in your lane. Your lane, it's whatever your real life looks like. Stay in your lane, come out the dark and don't be ashamed. Your lane, let's have a conversation on what we face every day. It's your lane talk show with Coach Trish Hanna.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to Your Lane Talk Show. I am your favorite host for the afternoon, Coach Trish Hanna, broadcasting live in Nassau, Bahamas on the Guardian 96.9 FM dial. If you are joining us for the first time, welcome. Welcome to the show. This is the place where we empower, encourage, and educate women of all ages to walk boldly in the lane that God has designed for them. Thank you to our men that tune in as well. Listen, the men were calling like crazy last week, Sunday, on our show. And guess what? I love it because the show, what I've been liking thus far about the show since being on Guardian Talk is that all of our shows have been generic. I love it. I love that it's an opportunity for men to call in and share their views. And of course, women to call in and for men to answer and get prizes, right? And of course, the women be high. Now, this show will continue to, we will continue to step out of the four walls and into media. That's what we're all about. We're all about finding topics that you won't typically find in the church or in the four walls of the church. And obviously to help those, especially the church people, not particularly just the church people, of course, but especially church people who so caught up in church that they don't know, you know, they forget how to do the basics. They forget how to be a wife, how to be a mother, how to be a chef, right? How to clean, how to take care of themselves, how to rest, how to beautify themselves, etc. And that's, those are just a few of the many topics that we cover here on Your Lane Talk Show. And last week, our topic was titled Poised and Polished, Building Confidence Through Etiquette. My guest was none other than Mrs. Loretta Thomas, who's presently listening as we speak. She's an etiquette specialist from the British School of Excellence. Now, what Mrs. Thomas did not tell us last week, oh my goodness, right? We were schooled on dining room etiquette, the importance of exuding confidence and grace, especially when we are in the presence of others. You know, the fact that we can own a room without even saying anything, our presence actually can speak on our behalf. She spoke about, I think she would be so proud of me. Last week, I was at a formal event, and normally, typically, like I know, right, most of us, as Bahamians, that's okay. We normally put our purses, our formal purses, on the table or our cell phones on the table, which is a no-no, of course, according to her. That is not something that we are supposed to be doing. And so therefore, she would say we can either put the bags behind us as ladies or on our laps. So last week, because my purse was a little bigger than usual, I tried the back and it was not working for me, Mrs. Thomas. And so I ended up putting my purse on my lap and I put my napkin over it, all right? So That one was for you. Cheers to you, Mrs. Thomas. And moving forward, I will not do that, you know, putting the bag on the table and the cell phone on the table, etc. My bad. All right. So, of course, if you want to know more about that, you can go to episode 152. Once again, it's titled Poised and Polished, Building Confidence Through Etiquette. All right. And you can find that on Your Lane. Your Lane Life Coaching on Facebook, or you can go on YouTube, Coach Trish Hannah, episode 152. Now, I know some of y'all have been practicing how to sit up straight, right? And how to sip cutely and chew like royalty. I know some of you were practicing how to speak, you know, not to be so loud and boisterous, but, you know, in that nice, graceful tune. Well, today you could relax just a tad bit because we're stepping out of the dining room and straight into the kitchen. Now, the kitchen is one that I love so much. Why? Because it's a chance for me to play music. I love playing music while I'm in the kitchen. I love interacting, playing around with, you know, new things, exciting recipes, etc. Sometimes I'd have the YouTube playing so that I could hear what the people are saying while I'm actually doing what they're saying, you know. And sometimes I'll have my children with me, my husband with me, and we just make that time in the kitchen fun. All right. So, yes, there may be one or two little rules for the kitchen, but, you know, we're going to put down etiquette just a little bit today, just today. All right. And of course, we're going to talk about holiday, the excitement, the fact that we're gearing up into it. So we want to know, you know, how to dine properly, how to cater to those who may be coming, you know, hosting those who may be coming to your home, and all the flair, all the excitement that comes along with it. Now, for those who messed up on the holiday meal last year, all right, this is your chance to get it together. This is your chance to get it together. Don't panic. God is still on the throne. There is still hope for you, especially those who had dry turkeys last year, all right? The dry turkey fans, the dry turkey people, y'all tune in, because we want to know how to make these turkeys nice and juicy. We will know how to do our macaroni right, and we will know how to make sure we have that fluffy, well, I don't know, for some people, like me, I do the pumpkin rice, but some people may just want to stick with the peas and rice and the bean and rice, so we can get it together. We're talking about holiday menus and festive flair. That's the topic for today, with none other than our one busy Bahamian celebrity chef, because did I mention that he's busy? Okay, all right. Chef Simeon Hall, who is no stranger to Guardian Radio at large. So, of course, when I opened the door for him, I said, welcome home. Welcome back. Come on, let's go. So for those who are tuning in, grab your notes, all right? Get your notebooks, get your aprons, or your appetite. Get whatever it is that you need to get to be comfortable, because today's show is all about flavor. It's all about fun and making the holiday season unforgettable, all right? And there are lots of ways that we can be tuned, we can be heard today. You can hear us on, of course, the Guardian 96.9 FM radio dial. We're also on channel 969 on cable, BTC Flow channel 612. We're on the Guardian Radio app for those who have Android or Apple, and we're on the website www.guardiantalkradio.com. Now, for those Facebook people, if you love Facebook, we're also on Your Lane Life Coaching Facebook page, and for those who like YouTube, you can find us there also on Coach Trish Hannah's YouTube account. All right, we're gonna have some fun today, and guess what? I have a question for those who are tuning in, my audience. All right, those who are on Facebook, big up to our Facebook crew who are already up and live and running. Hello, hello, hello. My question for you today is, what holiday dish have you always wanted to learn how to make but never tried? What holiday dish have you always wanted to learn how to make but never tried? Put it in Facebook. You could also text us, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. If you want to give us a call, 1-242-323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. All right, let me just say something real quick. There's a dessert that I like, that I really, really like, and I tried it about a few years ago, and because I was so disappointed when after it came out, I decided not to do it again, but I am going to do it again, and guess what it is? It's pumpkin roll. It tasted really good, but I think I found out what the problem was for me with that. It was too thick. I didn't roll it, like, thin enough. And so what happened is it was just like cracking and crumbling as I was rolling it up. And I was disappointed. I was really disappointed. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do it again. I'm just going to pay someone to just do the log for me, and then I'll just buy it and eat it. But guess what? I am going to fight that fail and that rejection, and I'm going to make it again. So that's the dessert part of it. But I can't wait to read or to hear what your dessert or your food dish would be that you would want to prepare that you have never really tried. Okay? All right. All right. So, Yerlene, talk show episode 153, Holiday Menus and Festive Flair, is brought to you by John's Shoe Store and Accessories, Airwick, distributed by Thompson Trading, Tropical Gyros, Yerlene Life Coaching, and Children's Dream Journal. According to Jeremiah 1:5, God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." That same truth applies to your children. Before they ever entered this world, God already placed purpose and destiny inside of them. But purpose attracts warfare, and that's why the enemy often targets children early, even through their dreams. His goal is to plant fear, confusion, or shame to silence the very gifts God placed within them. The Children's Dream Journal helps you capture those dreams and guide your child's destiny with prayer and purpose. Available now at All Seasons Book and Gift Center, Palmdale. And you can also purchase it on Amazon, the Children's Dream Journal. All right, so it's time to introduce our speaker. Today's guest is Chef Simeon Hall Jr., affectionately known for his signature greeting, Peace and Flavor. I can't wait for him to say that. He is a proud son of the Bahamian soil, a preacher's kid, and a grandson of two of the Bahamas' pioneering female chefs, Nay and Nola. Cooking is truly in his blood. Chef Simeon is a highly respected culinary artisan, food ambassador, author, private chef, event curator, movie consultant, and now restaurateur. Yeah? Mm. His passion is creating out-of-the-box food experiences, telling authentic Bahamian food stories, and showcasing our true culinary culture to the world. He grew up surrounded by the beauty of Nassau, the shifting colors of the ocean, the warm sands, a place he proudly calls home. As a leader in the food service industry, Chef Simeon dedicates his time to mentoring up-and-coming chefs and preserving the rich history of Bahamian and Caribbean cuisine. His work celebrates the colorful, fragrant, and classic flavors of our islands, many of which the world has yet to discover. Please help me welcome Chef Simeon Hall Jr., Peace and Flavor. I need to hear you say it, though.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a joy to be here on a Sunday. I've never been on the radio on a Sunday.
Woo, look at me. I'm making history.
Never. Let's do. This is new and exciting, and so thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. So how do you say it? How do you say your peace and flavor? What's the tone?
I don't know. I just say it, peace and flavor.
Just like that?
Yep.
Man,
it's more of a written tagline
right.
than it is an oral one.
Okay.
Because when I write, which I do quite a bit, and correspond quite a bit,
yes,
I want people to know and understand that is the message that we bring, which is, you know, food and how food is fellowship, and we will always want you to be flavorful, and we want you to have the calmness and the peace that food brings. Because if you could eat and you're mad, you need to you definitely need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, you need to find a therapist. There's no way you could be mad and eat at the same time.
If you're doing the two things at the same time,
that ain't happening.
Yeah, you need more than 11 a.m. service.
Wow. Listen. Anyway, we'll talk about that later because I want to get to the juicy part, like literally some juicy parts. All right. Now, reading your bio, you spoke about being a grandson to two legendary Bahamian chefs now. So I want you to tell us the truth, chef. Growing up, were you allowed to be in the kitchen or were your grandparents like the police? Just
no, my grandmothers welcomed me in the kitchen. I tell the story all the time. I remember making my first omelet at 4.
Oh.
Which in retrospect, I realized it was burnt eggs. But for a better story, I call it an omelet.
Right.
But it definitely wasn't an omelet. But I can remember doing that. I can remember watching my mom's mom make bread all the time. I can remember going to the farmer's market when it was there where BEC parking lot is on off Bluell Road.
Yeah.
I used to go with my grandmother there. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of a part of that for all my life, practically.
I love that. Let me just read this person says, my food dish would be ham and moist turkey. So I don't know if you're trying to say, Darlene, that your turkeys that you've made before were not moist. So you're going to try it this time or you haven't tried it at all. I would love to hear that. And someone says, there was a pudding that Lucianos used to make. I don't remember the name of it, but it was the best of the best. So Yolanda, are you going to make that pudding this year? You got to know what the name is so you could find the recipe.
Yeah.
Right? Someone says, my dish would be braised duck. Okay. All right.
Interesting.
All right. So let's move on. You also said in your bio that you've cooked some really good food. You've had some really nice experiences internationally, right? So what's the most Bahamian thing you've ever done in a fancy international kitchen?
Well, if anybody who knows me knows that, I am Mr. Bahamas, whether I'm here or away.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of things I can remember. When I lived in Hawaii, I would say Ancient Man birthday song, Happy Birthday,
yes,
was our signature song in the restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah, so we played Bahamian music for a happy birthday in the restaurant. I make tuna and grits for everybody, no matter where I go, because you can always find tuna. And I usually either find grits, make grits, or carry grits.
That's it.
So I make tuna and grits for everybody. I make Bahamian food for everybody, wherever I go. Okay. So, I mean, I've made Bahamian food in Singapore. I've made Bahamian food in Hawaii. I've made Bahamian food in Thailand. I mean, I can't.
And
there's no place I don't make it. Yeah, of course. The thing about Bahamian food is when it's done properly, there's relatability because people see and understand that as a part of the diaspora, you can relate to it. So, for example, when we make peas and rice properly,
mm-hmm.
it is a pilau, and that pilau is very similar to jollof,
mm-hmm.
which is the mother of African rice.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I make peas and rice for my African friends, they look at it and they're like, wow, this is a version of what I know. And so it's not like it's not relatable.
Right.
One of the things I talk about, too, is, food is political. It is it separates and it unites us. I've always asked people why you can't find chicken sauce, sheep tongue sauce, and other Bahamian restaurant or menu-centric items past a certain point in Cable Beach,
mm-hmm.
for example. Mm-hmm. And then I have a client. Every time I cook for my client, no matter how fancy the meal,
mm-hmm.
and he lives in Lifeaki, and a German client of mine,
mm-hmm.
the one thing he always is asks me, Chef, make sure I leave some sheep tongue sauce in the fridge.
God.
So, again.
Any German.
100%. But there is a broth, mm-hmm. a soup that they have in Germany that has the same flavor profile
okay.
of sauce. And so he relates to that and he absolutely loves it.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think we downplay Bahamian food a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bahamian food is in the top three most delicious food profiles in the Caribbean, but again, when it's made right.
Right.
Yes.
I like how you put emphasis on the right and properly because,
yeah, for sure.
We have some people, I have to be careful how I say this, but we do have some foreigners in our Bahamian restaurants who try to put a little twist to right. our food, right?
Right?
I don't know if you've picked that up, but I picked it up.
Well, yes, but again, that's our fault. And I could say, you have to say it right. I don't really have to say
it right
because I'm talking from facts.
Come on.
So, when you don't share proper recipes with people, they can do what they do.
Mm.
Because the one thing about ethnic food is very personal. When you make food that you can relate to,
mm-hmm.
it's hard for me to tell you to do it this way when you saw your grammy doing it that way. And you saw your mommy doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when I give Miss Johnson a recipe for macaroni, mm-hmm. and I tell her, listen, you got to put a little bit of mayonnaise in it. She ain't putting no mayonnaise in it. That might be my family recipe, but she sure ain't doing that. So, you know, you have all these things, so we have to come up with recipes.
Right.
We have to make sure, especially when it's in a restaurant setting, that we are guiding people through the process mm-hmm. of making these foods that we want to make sure that the audience gets. And unfortunately, that's where you see lack of consistency mm-hmm. and lack of real recipes. And one of the things that I want to emphasize is this is more prevalent in New Providence. When you go to the Family Islands, that's a whole different story mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. the most of them. And so, again, this is why I tell people to be in Nassau and say that it is a Bahamian restaurant is actually not correct, because there's no such thing as a Bahamian restaurant, because every island has a specific way that they produce food because of it being on that island.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's yeah. different influences that mm-hmm. come from every island,
mm-hmm.
and you will find that and taste that in the food. So peas and rice in New Providence is different from Cat Island, Exuma, et cetera, et cetera. So you can't just lump all of us into one pot.
You see, that's something that we need to learn. That's something that we don't know. And I know for a fact the way that people do things are quite different. We already have the phone buzzing. People do things differently. Even as far as Kung Salad, I realize that certain islands will put certain things
100%.
In their Kung Salad.
I have a whole article that's being produced just on Kung Salad.
My God.
Because Kung Salad is very Bahamian, but yeah. it's very island specific, I call it.
Yeah.
So it's totally different.
Let's take 1 second to get this caller. Caller, welcome to Your Lane Talk Show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you. I just want to ask Chef a question, though.
Go ahead.
Chef, so if a Bahamian restaurant is not a Bahamian restaurant, what about a Chinese restaurant? Chinese restaurant cooks Chinese food, right?
Well, actually, when you hear them being very correct, you will hear them saying different things, like Cantonese, or you will hear them saying different regions when they describe the restaurant.
But here, what is the culture?
The culture is very different. You can't get the same food throughout the entire China. You cannot. It's the same thing. You cannot get the same food throughout the entire Bahamas.
Would it be that the Chinese bring the Chinese cuisine to the Bahamas?
That's not Chinese cuisine. The Chinese cuisine that they serve in the Bahamas, most Chinese would not eat it because it's not Chinese. It's an adaptation, because every time you move, you have to adapt. You have to adapt to the palate of the people. You ask any Bahamian who has gone to visit China, who lives in the Bahamas, because Bahamians are going to China quite often, and they'll tell you the food is totally different. Most of them can't even eat the food in China.
Okay, so Chef, you got me feeling like I was drinking, and I know I don't drink. So,
well,
let me ask a question though, Chef. Yeah, I just want to, let me ask a question. So you're going to tell me, I'm a Bahamian
mm-hmm.
living in the Bahamas.
You live in the whole Bahamas, or you live on an island in the Bahamas?
Chef, allow me to finish though.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to ask a question before you interrupt. I'm a Bahamian. Once I lived geographically in the soil of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. regardless to the island,
mm-hmm.
I'm in the Bahamas, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to tell me, if I open up a restaurant, I get a space and open a restaurant, mm-hmm. I'm a Bahamian, and I decide to name it a Bahamian restaurant and I'm cooking Bahamian food, you're going to say to me, that's not a Bahamian restaurant.
No, I'm saying to you, in culinary actual correctness, then no, it's not. Because it's very specific. But I'll give you a quick example.
So, Chef, you're telling me that you're the be-all, end-all with Bahamian restaurants?
No, I didn't say that. Oh, where are you getting this from?
So what I'm going to do, Carla, I'm going to let him explain, and then we can, because the show wasn't really to be a back and forth,
you know.
We even didn't get to the good, juicy questions yet. I don't know about you, Carla, but I want to make sure my turkey nice and juicy this year. So
please,
we're going to continue on. We can use this for another time.
It's just the technical side of it. So for example, like you were talking about the Kong Salad. there are people in New Providence who would not or have never eaten pickled Kong salad, correct? You have people who have never had tropical Kong salad. You have people who think mayonnaise in Kong salad is absolutely disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
So again, these are all variations of one dish that we love.
Right.
That is the mother dish. But then there are so many different influences from each and every island. That's a simple fact.
Okay, let me take this and let me get into the questions, man. One second. Your Lane Talk Show. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon to you, madam, and Chef Hall.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, listen to me. The gentleman was on just now. I don't know if he understand what you was really trying to say.
No, probably
because
not.
You could go in certain restaurant and say you get a pea soup, and they only get ham in doing it.
Right.
And you go into the next restaurant and say pea soup, they get salt beef, ribs, but all being pea soup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, people do things differently.
Exactly.
You know, I am not one of those who believe in that tropical Kong salad. With all them fruits in it. That's just a fruit salad with coconut.
Yeah, that's me too, because I'm more of a purist. But
yeah,
again,
even if you just scorch the Kong and put some big onion and tomato and
of course,
some salad, I've enjoyed that more than this thing they call it Kong salad with pineapple. That's a fruit salad with Kong in it.
But that's the same way people who love that experience will feel about me saying that I love mayonnaise in my Kong salad. Because I used to live in Abaco.
You must have cooked in Abaco before.
I used to live in Abaco, so I love it. I absolutely love it.
There's a big jar of mayonnaise on the Kong stand.
For sure. 100%.
And when I saw somebody do that, that freaked me right out.
But again, this is what I'm trying to get people to understand. When it comes to Bahamian food, we're so diverse. And we're so island specific mm-hmm. that we need to get out of this concept that, you know, one island dominates anything. Yeah, and that's just not the case. So
but
that's a fact.
Let me hurry on because I know you'll have some other callers. But when I went into Abaco, then the people see me didn't put no mayonnaise in my Kong salad. They say, man, you have to be from Nassau.
Yeah, of course. You from Don. You
yeah,
from
I
Don.
Yeah, I ain't doing that here. But this, let me just comment on the Chinese food. Have you ever went into a Chinese restaurant and see a Chinese eater?
No, it's not. It's a variation of the food that they cook, because I assure you, my sister just went to China a few months ago, and they ended up eating Wendy's and McDonald's.
What?
But when they're here, she likes Chinese, because it's not the... come on. It's the same thing as us. When
the
we
Chinese
make food here,
Simon,
we tune it down.
A Chinese restaurant right
yeah,
here
no,
on East Street South.
No. It's an adaptation.
Cook that in China.
Yeah, of course. Of
now,
course.
They know Bahamian people grab a listen to this. Give you plenty
yeah,
of rice.
Yeah, you know, that's different. That's
smother
different.
The rice with gravy and 2 little pieces of meat. You think you get a bunch of food?
Yeah, we can. Thank you so much for calling. Call him on. Let's see. He must be coming back. We must be doing part two for Chef, because we ain't get, and we are ready at 4 o'clock. So let's see if we can get him to answer us with some of these questions. And we're going to take a break, or you want to wait? Let's take a break. And right after our break, we're going to get some questions out, right? We want to know what we're doing for the holiday, our holiday menus. We want to know how to, you know, enhance the flavors, right,
and none
of our
them
food.
Dry turkey.
No dry turkey. See, someone done say that. I want to know how to have my turkey, nice and moist. So make sure we get our turkey nice and moist before the end of the show, all right?
This holiday season, let Airwick fill your home with the mist of happiness. Enjoy limited edition scents like apple cinnamon medley, glistening snow and frosted mint, sweet vanilla and shea butter, all infused with natural oils to bring warmth and cheer. Find Airwick's essential mist diffusers and scented oil warmers at Kelly's, Lowe's Pharmacy, Paradise Premium Foods, and Family Island locations. Airwick, activate your holiday essence.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
You need to turn up the volume. This message is for you.
Where are you in your dream business? Have you published your book as yet? Do you feel fulfilled in life? Need help with time management? Or perhaps a breakthrough in your marriage? I believe we can help. At Your Lane Life Coaching, our professional team will help you discover what you really want and take you from where you are to your desired outcome in your life or marriage. Fulfilling your goals is important to us. Call us today at 376-8689 or visit our website at www.yourlanelifecoaching.com.
Your Lane Life Coaching, discovering pathways to progress.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Your Lane Talk Show. This is your coach, Trish Hanna, broadcasting live from Nassau, Bahamas. Listen, the conversation juicier offline than when it is online. I can't wait for Chef Simeon to tell y'all what makes good food, because that's what we was talking about. Like, what, how you know your food good? How you know someone's food good? Like, what makes the good food, right? So before I even ask that question, he spoke about storytelling in the food. And this is something that I don't mind doing part two and talk about everything else later, because I want to get this one out the way. I want to know about storytelling, about food, like what is that about? What? How do we come about doing that? Is this something that you do around the kitchen table? Is this something we do around a dining room table? Talk to us about that.
Well, two things. Food is fellowship. Mm. Like I said earlier, I don't know anybody that eats upset. So, you know, it's a good way to fellowship. And, you know, telling stories is about, you know, having people relate to the fact that I believe that good food does one of two things. Mm. Either it reminds you of something or it creates a new memory. So whenever you have good food, mm-hmm. you either feel like, boy, this tastes like my grandmother own, or the next time it comes up, you're reminded of that experience. And that's when you know you've had good food.
I love that.
If it doesn't do one of those two things, then I don't know if it was that delicious. If you forget a food experience, I don't know if it was that great, in my opinion. But when you remember it, and it's something that places you in a moment in time, and it creates a memory, that was a good dish.
That was, wow, I love that. You know, and then for some of us women, we have a little happy dance when the food tastes good. I'm not
sure. Well, we greedy. Bahamians greedy, so we always dancing with food. That ain't, even when it ain't, you know, that delicious.
Yeah.
Once it full us, Yeah, we humming and dancing.
But I don't. You ever been? I'm sure that you've done this because you're a chef, so you know. But you ever been to a place where you're excited to eat, and then when you eat the food, you're disappointed, like you're mad because the food ain't exactly how you expected.
No, all the time. But and as a chef, I try to be very neutral. But again, I tell people all the time: is the food delicious? You can have all these. You could have social media. You could have influencers. You could have all these different things. Mm-hmm. But my question is, was it delicious?
Because it looked good.
Yeah, and deliciousness comes in different ways. Because, again, delicious is different when you're hungry.
Yeah.
Delicious is different when you're full. And delicious is also different when you was looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you was looking forward to a meal. And when you get there, you're already in a frame of mind that is helping to judge the food.
Right.
It ain't had nothing to do with the food. It was your expectation. And you know, the only way for you to get disappointed is to have an expectation.
Yeah.
And so if you burden the food with that, then that's what it can be. For sure.
For sure. Okay, so when you think about well-balanced holiday menu, what are the key elements every family should include to make the meal feel complete?
Well, I think every family should have their favorites, whatever that is to your family. This is the holidays is a time of tradition. There's authentic and there's traditional. I think in the holidays, traditional takes precedence. So, for example, like I was saying earlier, some people, when they make macaroni and cheese, they sprinkle paprika on the top of it.
I saw that. I thought it before.
We never do that in my family. But if your family like paprika on the top of it, make sure you all paprika up your all macaroni. Don't try to do what isn't for your family.
Come on.
What isn't for the people that you're going to be surrounded by. Because that is not for y'all. I know people, and one of the things to don't do at the holidays is experiment.
Oh, this ain't
no time
for
Pinterest. This ain't no time to be trying to pull out no new stops and no new this and new that. No. Mm-mm. This ain't no time. Mm-mm. Also, too, as the Bible say, he knew you before.
Yeah.
He knows some of y'all can't cook. So it's okay. It's okay. The family know y'all can't cook. Y'all bring the paper.
That's tell fine. Them to bring the cup and the cutlery and them.
Stay in your lane. All right? So I don't have no problem with you knowing that you need to be the dishwasher upper.
Something.
You was the person who everybody didn't eat and you was help clean up because you ain't bring nothing.
No, I mean,
why you ain't bring nothing? Because you can't make nothing.
You can't cook.
That is absolutely fine. The holidays isn't a time for you to reveal that you try something new. This ain't no try nothing new time.
No.
This is a time when you make sure that all your family favorites are there on the table and you all enjoy what it is your family
Hold
likes.
Hold on, I'm trying to put this, send this to my family group real quick. Just give me 1 second because there's someone in particular who we can have bringing the sodas.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I think that is accepted. That is the time for you to do that because this ain't no time to experiment. Okay. Now, before we get too busy, I definitely want to tell people what I believe is the best way to have a moist turkey.
Come on. Hold on. Just before that, let me just make sure this person know that I did read their message. Afternoon, all. What I want to know is if Chef Simeon Jr., offers Thanksgiving dinner, I don't need to be wasting my money on these people dry turkey. So this is quite fitting, ma'am or sir, with what he's about to share, because maybe those who think that they're going to be doing catering services, they may need to tune in to Chef and hear what he has to say to make this turkey nice and moist.
Well, for the person who wants to do Thanksgiving, they definitely are more than welcome to book me for 2027.
Oh, you full.
Yeah, till 2027 Finish. When it comes to that sort of stuff.
Okay.
But if you want to do it yourself, two things. One, I'm almost certain I have a recipe on my website, which is www.simeonhalljr.com, that helps to navigate turkey. But here's the trick to turkey.
Yeah.
Turkeys are not designed to be roasted off whole. The turkey legs and the turkey breasts cook at different temperatures and different times, sorry. So the best way for you to do it is to break it down into quarters. People like to roast a whole turkey mainly for the aesthetics.
Me, yes, people.
But that's not practical. So unless you can do something where you are masterful enough to cook the breast of the turkey and the thigh of the turkey at different times, you're definitely going to have dry. There's nothing you could do about it. I don't care how much you brine your turkey. I don't care how much you whatever. You have to learn to roast the turkey in quarters. That is the best way to make sure you don't dry it out. Also,
so,
to
be specific. So I'm getting this turkey, butterball, whatever brand that they want to use. And I'm literally asking probably the people to cut it in.
Well, it's very simple to do.
You do it yourself.
It's very simple to do.
And so, so let's go.
So let's break down the turkey into quarters.
Yeah.
Two breasts, two legs.
Yes.
Right? Because now instead of making stuffing, you'll make dressing, which you know is the difference.
Right.
When it's inside the bread, it's stuffing. Mm-hmm. When it's outside, it's dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Same product. So that's my recommendation. Also, too, I've gone away from a wet brine to a dry brine. What does that mean? Basically, seasoning your turkey ahead of time with a sort of dry rub. One of the things that Bahamians do very wrong as well is we use a lot of citrus, but citrus cooks. It starts to preserve. So it also tightens and toughens the meat. So if you can take your turkey and season it to the bejeebus with lime juice, you're then in problems. And that's sitting there for 2-3 days. We can't help you with that. So it, again, it's some of our techniques that we use that help us to get to this dry bird.
Okay. Mm. So can you, if the people are learning one thing today, we're learning how to do turkey. So we get the turkey and we take it from the store. We cut it in fours. Tell us how to do the dry seasoning.
Well, one of the things is if you're doing turkey, you should start buying your turkey now.
Right.
Because your turkey is going to need to thaw. A proper thaw inside your refrigerator is going to be about 3 to 4 days. If it's a big bird, you're looking at 5 days just for it to thaw out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, and again, that's one of the other issues that we do. We get a bird and we rush it. We put it in all kind of water in the zinc and leave it out overnight and all kind of things. No, sorry. Your technique is already setting the bird on a course of dryness. And so, ain't no amount of cooking could replace some of these techniques that we use in the Bahamas. So, that is some of the things that you definitely need
so
to pay attention
to.
The
names of the seasonings that you use for your turkey.
Just come up with whatever your favorites are. Salt, fresh black pepper. And also, too, one of the things that I would suggest is this is a good time to throw away some of y'all spices. Because they've been around from last year.
And they stick into the container.
It's absolutely finished. Horrendous. They have no flavor. The Bahamas is too hot. There's no such thing as room temperature in the Bahamas unless you have a central air. So your spices and stuff, they dead. So this is a good time. The holidays is a good time to re-up on your seasonings. So that's the first thing. Again, you seasoning and seasoning, but there ain't no flavor in them. So you're trying to figure it out. Also, too, I would suggest people to switch to kosher salt over iodized salt.
Okay.
Get some fresh cracked black pepper, paprika, garlic, onion powder, and you can mix those together.
Those are actually my seasonings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just make sure they're fresh.
But okay, so let's move on. Listen to me. Chef mashing all kind of corn.
I'm just telling you all the truth.
Mashing all kind of corn today. All right. So, Bahamian and Caribbean dishes have so much soul and history. What are some ways families can elevate traditional dishes without losing authenticity? That was one of my questions.
One of the ways that you could do that is modern techniques. And, you know, I do that a lot. I fuse what I call local ingredients with global techniques. And so the soul of it comes from you're still making sure that that flavor profile that we're known for in the Bahamas is there. Bahamians could cook. We could season season food. You know, making sure that we carry on with the, for example, you know, salt and chopping the pepper, goat peppers, etc., into the salt. That is uniquely Bahamian now. Nobody else around here does that. And so using that as a way to flavor your food,
season your fish,
no matter what it is, even when I'm doing modern techniques, I'm still using that to season up a lot of my proteins, especially seafood. So I don't think you can lose the soul of it if you're using what you were taught and what you've learned and you've observed, but then just modernizing it.
Now, I'm basing this question on what I heard you said. Now, I don't know if you were just using it as an example of this is something that you do. I heard you mention mayonnaise in the macaroni.
Oh, no. That was just an example.
Okay, because, Charles, I know I heard some things, but I never heard mayonnaise in macaroni.
Again, don't be surprised because mayonnaise is just eggs and oil. That's all mayonnaise is. Eggs and oil. Eggs and fat. So eggs and butter.
Eggs and macaroni,
yeah.
Anyway.
Eggs and fat and macaroni.
Anyway.
That ain't no
so some people may
and
yeah, may course. Do that. Okay, just
you put eggs. There's some recipes where mayonnaise is in cakes. And the reason that is because it's eggs and fat. That's all that mayonnaise is.
All right, so for families on a budget, how can they still create a festive and flavorful holiday spread without overspending?
That's easy. Everybody bring some.
Potluck. But so everybody in the family can't cook.
Well, everybody could still bring some. You ain't got a good cook, but you could bring something. Definitely holidays is definitely not a time to overspend.
Right.
Because it is one of those experiences where you could bring, everybody should be bringing something. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is make sure that auntie, you always late. She ain't have the primary thing to bring.
That is the problem right there. Honestly, yeah. I ain't gonna lie.
She been late for the last 40 years.
How you get so telling her to bring things anyway?
Why y'all still telling her to bring the ham?
And the peas and rice.
No, don't let her bring that. Let her bring the platen. Because that ain't there, you ain't gonna.
Okay, she got to bring the plant in. Let me take notes. I take notes. Are y'all taking notes? All right, so here's the thing now. You spoke about, you know, the well-balanced holiday menu. Like, what do we call a Bahamian holiday dish? What does that look like? I know different families do different things.
I think it's just the incorporation of what we would know as our Sunday dinner, enhanced with things like ham, turkey, fried fish, maybe some lobster in there. It is a time for opulence. You can't have too much food for the holidays in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And you know, the more meat you have, the more we like you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if it is a well-loved family, they have all the meat in the world. Mm-hmm. If you just have if I come to your house and y'all only have ham and turkey, something ain't right with y'all. Something ain't going to right. Mm-hmm. Because that ain't all.
Because
some people don't eat ham.
That's right.
So they supposed to have fish.
Fish.
Or, you know, if you ain't putting a little razzle dazzle in your stuffing, maybe, you know, maybe y'all having some internal issues inside there. But, you know, all of this is a part of what being eating in the holidays in the Bahamas is all about. And it's a time for us to get together. That's a time for us to talk and fellowship and catch up. We ain't see one another physically in a while. And so that is what food does for us.
Mm-hmm. Someone says, we cover our turkeys in prayer. Ah, Jesus. Cover your turkey in prayer, child. Make sure it ain't.
Again, you know, some of these things would be used for praying. They have nothing to do with the press.
Now, let's talk about hosting. What's your best advice for entertaining guests so that the experience feel warm? Because you just spoke about, you know, it's a time for us to gather together. How can we make it smooth and memorable?
One of my biggest issues for hosting, especially here, and what I've seen over the course of my career, is hosts that eliminate a food just because they don't eat it. Mm. I have a major issue with that. Unless it's some religious issue, I don't think a host should determine the entire menu. So just because you don't eat green beans, you don't want no green beans nowhere in the whole of the menu. I have a problem with that. You just don't eat the green beans.
Yeah.
That's not what hosting is. That's not hospitality. Mm. And hospitality is making sure that your guests are comfortable. Mm-hmm. You don't eat mushrooms, so you ain't want nobody to have mushroom soup. And everybody else like mushrooms except you. Mm-hmm. But you ain't want nobody to have mushrooms. That's not hosting. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be mindful of who your guests are, what they like, what they appreciate, and make sure that that is a part of the experience. A next part of...
allergies?
Yeah, but that's different. But not everybody has an allergy.
Yeah.
And most people that have allergies, they will alert you to that allergy.
Right, right.
They will ask you if this has this or that.
Right.
And so you got 30 people coming for dinner, but you ain't want to put lobster in the stuffing because Cousin Sue can't eat lobster. Mm-hmm. Tell Cousin Sue, lobster in the stuffing, don't eat that. Mm-hmm. And half of these allergies ain't no real allergies.
Anyway.
Because Cousin Sue still can put a little bit on their table, on their plate, because I want to taste it.
Yeah, they just want to taste it.
So there you go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to do that. And then the next big way, especially in the Bahamas, for you to be a great host is to be on time. To be ready. To be there and ready and available to welcome your guests. Mm-hmm. Don't be going in the shower when people reach in. That's not hosting. So now if you want to talk about hosting, host. If you ain't want to host, then don't call me, because then that's the advice I can give you. Mm-hmm. Be ready. Be there to accept your people, even if it's your family.
Yeah.
So what? Use the host. The dinner by you is here.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be waiting on you to come out of the shower to eat. Because I can tell you one thing. If it's my daddy, he eat.
No matter what.
He can't go eat. He ain't waiting on too much people. So, and I know he ain't the only one. So we have to be mindful of things like that. And that is how we be an amazing host.
I read in some of these comments. I can get to your comments right now. All right. So what else we going to talk about? What's one new culinary trend or ingredient you think Bahamian households should try adding to their holiday menus this year?
I don't know if it's new, but I definitely think one of the things that I would love to see more on Bahamian menus is more local ingredients.
Okay.
Instead of going to buy imported whatever, how about getting some seasonal produce that is going to be more flavorful, is going to allow you to keep it as simple as possible, and it's going to be more delicious.
So tell us about...
Pumpkin.
Okay.
Everybody using pumpkin around this time. I don't have no problem with the food stores, but pumpkin from Mrs. Roll Farm and pumpkin that we imported with all the tariffs and all the other things that come from Timbuktu can never taste better than hers.
That's right.
And so she's going to give you a better product. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more delicious. Mm-hmm. In fact, it can taste like pumpkin. This pumpkin which you get from the market here, that only tastes like, you know, like texture.
Right.
It don't really, it ain't really have much taste.
All of the preservatives
and you have to do
that.
So much to get it to where you want it to be. I suggest that everybody go and check out what's seasonal. Check your farmers. Go to the farmer's market on Gladstone Road and buy what is fresh and local. And definitely, if you're cooking salmon for the holidays in the Bahamas, you know, unfollow me.
One time. Because why?
Because that don't make no sense.
What happened?
That don't make no sense.
You got your hogfish there.
That don't make no sense.
You get the grouper there.
Salmon don't make no sense to me. So that don't make... It wastes
salmon
in the holidays.
Salmon, but not for the holidays.
It don't make no sense.
I love my salmon.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about then. Let's talk about the different seasonings, the thyme, the rosemary, all these different things that we could use to enhance the flavor, as you've stated. Let's share some seasonings that can be used in holiday dishes.
One of the things that, you know, they're warm spices, they call them, which are typical holiday spices. And those are your nutmegs, allspice, cloves, cinnamon. Those are what you would really want to use to enhance the flavor in terms of that. And again, I emphasize, make sure that they're fresh.
Yeah.
If they are what you had in your cupboard from last year before you make the dinner.
No more good.
They can't help you. Yeah. They dry and all that. Also, too, a tip that a lot of chefs do is we lightly toast spices before we use them.
Okay.
And so what it does is it brings the oils to the surface and it helps you to, it becomes more fragrant. The next thing is to be mindful that a lot of fresh herbs, for example, they're very pungent and some of them go well with heat and some do not. And so you have to be very careful of that. Rosemary can be very overbearing. If you don't use it properly, all you can taste is rosemary. And so you have to make sure that you're using it in balance so that you have a great meal. And one of the things that I like to do is I like to make a green seasoning, which is a mashup of fresh herbs, onion, garlic, etc. And I kind of use that blanketed across the entire meal. So that there's synergy between each dish so that it doesn't taste off. You have a little bit of a similar taste here, similar taste there, similar taste there. So when you eat it, it does it tastes unified,
right?
Almost.
Right.
Yeah.
So give me an example of something where you would use that green spread or that green seasoning that you combined, and like give me a typical plate.
Well, I mean, for the holidays, I use that across the board. If I don't put rosemary in it, I would use that in almost everything. Vegetables, proteins, rice, the whole nine yards.
And your beans and rice?
Yeah, it all depends because it is, if you use thyme, onion, garlic,
anyway,
that's the same thing that you're putting into your peas and rice.
Okay.
It's different just than, you know, we tend to put the whole sprig of thyme and let it just fall off the branch mm-hmm. in the rice and then pick out the branch.
But that's what Grammy Dammers do.
But that's fine. But this is what you were talking about earlier, which is newer techniques with the same old soul.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. Grammy used to braise chicken all the time, but I never heard my grandmother use the word braise.
Mm.
But that's what she was doing. When I went to culinary school and they say, we braising chicken today, I said, it's steamed chicken.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's just called braise.
The way that,
so you're just using different techniques to do the same thing.
Right, so let's go back to the holidays. What would a typical, let's say, Christmas breakfast look like to you?
Well, not Christmas, because there is no Christmas breakfast, typically in the Bahamas.
What?
Because you're getting ready to eat a big meal on Christmas.
Y'all
it's
don't
Boxing
do
Day.
Okay, fine.
No, Boxing Day.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, different households do different things.
Again, for the most part,
okay.
When you're getting ready to have a big lunch or brunch
yeah, you don't need
in
that
the Bahamas,
big.
you ain't cooking too heavy
y'all
before
I must be doubling
my... My mother ain't cooking for the week before, and she ain't cooking the week after. You getting all ready right. for that. So that is it. But the day after, which is Boxing Day.
Okay, let's add on.
That is when you use the ham, the leftover ham.
Yeah.
And you're making the most amazing egg and ham sandwich that you've ever had.
Of course.
110%. Whoever ain't making egg and ham sandwich the next morning, don't invite me because I ain't coming. That ain't no time for nothing else besides leftover ham. An egg in the morning.
Okay, it's so that's perfect. The morning. That's your breakfast, right? Lunchtime, because you still got your food from yesterday.
Leftovers.
So that's fine. But some, let's go, let's say, like, probably a day after. Like, 2 days after.
You still ain't eating much. Turkey sandwich. Turkey salad.
Turkey salad.
Turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Steamed turkey and white rice. You do that?
Listen to me. We using turkey soup.
Everything. The
turkey
bone.
Turkey salad. Whatever. But I can tell you, ain't much Bahamian houses cooking right after the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, let's
whatever you
listen.
Have, that's what you
that's
use.
What you mean.
But let me tell you something. I must do double work then, because Christmas Day, which is my birthday, by the way, on Christmas morning, I'd wake up and do like stew fish or something, or boil fish for my husband, my children, whatever. And then I'll take a little break and rest for a little while. And then later on, whatever it is that I have to do, well, not even rest, because I'll probably be cooking, you know, during that time, and depending on what I'm doing, because we do potluck with my family. So I'd be doing that at the same time. And it don't take much to do boiled fish and stuff like that. That's no big deal. So let's say if we were to do the boiled fish, because at some point you got to drink, you eat your little boiled fish. How would you do? How would Chef Simeon do his boiled fish or stew fish?
Well, that's a huge undertaking. That's a show within itself.
Mm.
Because boiled fish is the national dish of the Bahamas, which a lot of people don't realize. But boiled fish is, again, one of those things that comes with an understanding of the dish. The fact that we used to make it with bacon fat. The fact that, you know, it all depends on the type of fish that you're using. Mm. Making sure that you're using absolutely fresh fish. It isn't supposed to be swimming in broth. It is supposed to be almost, it should cover your lips. Sauce should be cooked down to a point where it covers your lips and there it has like a smackability to it, because it's not supposed to be long water. Plenty of people just make long water sauce. That means anytime, for example, if you put sauce in the fridge or boil fish in the fridge and it doesn't...
It has that thick.
It doesn't become gelatinous.
Right.
And firm up, you ain't make your sauce right. It's supposed to, it's jelly, it's gelatin.
Yeah.
And so that is the way that you know you make rice sauce and boiled fish. But again, that's a whole different story. And again, we also make that different from island to island. But the best boiled fish you can ever have in your life coming from Andres. I don't care what nobody says.
Hands down. I ain't gonna lie.
They can row as much as they want.
Y'all may probably try to cut me off after this, but I think Androsians make the best food in general. I think their food is top notch. I ain't gonna lie.
There are elements of what they do that they do very well, but again, boiled fish for sure. I give it to Androsians. Yeah, for sure.
I get that. All right, so let's talk about there's I had a teacher, believe it or not, we had a teacher's meeting with my kid's school. And one of the teachers was talking about making peas and rice and how she still haven't really perfected that.
Right.
So hopefully she's tuning in, because I told her, I said, you got to listen to the show so you can learn how you do your peas and rice. Can you tell us then, because since you say we ain't got time to do the stew fish and the boiled fish, just briefly, how you get your peas and rice nice and fluffy? What do you use? Do you use the fresh peas? Do you boil the peas first? Do you use the champion peas in the can? How does chef do his peas and rice?
Well, again, knowing and understanding the dish is half the battle.
Mm.
Peas and rice is what we call a pilau or a cook-up.
Mm-hmm.
It is a dish that has several ingredients and multiple layers to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
When fresh green peas are in season, obviously you use that.
Mm-hmm.
If you can freeze some, obviously you use that. If you can, then you go to can. There are a couple of no-nos when making peas and rice.
Mm-hmm.
The number one no-no, I don't care what nobody say, is parboil. If you're using parboil rice, you have already failed. Yeah, there's nothing you can do to try resurrect that. That is not Lazarus, and Jesus is not
and
coming.
And don't invite you. Gone.
I'm not at all. Not even, don't even call me. Because you using parboil rice to make peas and rice, you've already gone.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing about it is peas and rice isn't made with browning.
What?
Absolutely not. That is a version that we kind of adapted, in particularly from hotels, and so that is not accurate either.
My mommy laughing. It's talk.
Yeah, there's no addition of heavy tomato paste in peas and rice either. It is typically and authentically made with bottled tomatoes or overripe tomatoes. That is the version that is the right way to do it. Also, too, there is no such thing as vegetarian peas and rice. And most places you go to now, they serve vegetarian peas and rice. And the reason is because, again, we became so adapted to the audience of changing things, then we started to change and adopt the peas and rice. And so that is not accurate. So that is one of the things that we definitely need to make sure that we alter. Peas and rice is authentically made with some sort of cured beef or pork. It is made with pork fat. It is made with dry conch. It is made with, those ingredients.
Drink the bay leaf.
Bay leaf too. Yeah, that's a small part of it. But flavoring that, making sure that your braise is really, really flavorful, adding your rice and then topping it off with your liquid. That is how you make a really good peas and rice.
Hold on. Back that up for me, sir. What they say, pull up. You come, let's talk. No, hold on. So the rice goes in before you put the water in.
Yes.
Because I've been doing that all my life.
But see, the problem with that is when you've done the braise, which is all of the stuff before
the onions and all that.
All of the saute down, mm-hmm. and all that. To be able to gauge that is very difficult. One of the things that you may do is add too much water, and so you take away the flavor.
And you get your friendly rice.
And then you have too much water, and then you put in the rice, and then it causes the starch to activate, and then all sorts of things go wrong.
So let's talk about how you say you don't use browning. So how do you get your rice to that brown color?
Well, once you do the saute down with those vegetables and your peas and bottled tomato, it's going to automatically become brown.
All my life.
But dark rice, that dark black browning peas, right?
No.
That's not us. Browning ain't here. There's no place to. Who's make browning?
I won't call the brands, right? But there's one would have the Jamaican and the Bahamian.
Yeah, but that ain't have nothing to do with us.
That's not the one I use now.
But that don't have nothing to do with us. You could say that don't have nothing to do with us. That's not a part of our food culture.
Chef, you changing my entire food culture.
But that
right
is
now.
Not a part of us. Well, show me one Bahamian who is make browning. Tell me one time you ever hear a Bahamian say, I make browning. Every Caribbean country that uses browning, they make their own. That is a version that you get in the store. We don't make browning because we don't use browning. That's not for us to use.
All my feelings.
These are all adaptations. So everybody with that dark chocolate mocha rice. I don't know.
That ain't that bad. But it ain't supposed to be dark. It's supposed to be that light brown. That's what you're saying?
Of course. 100%. And see, again, one of the things that you have to bear in mind, this is also very New Providence-centric.
Mm.
When you go to many of the family islands, you don't have this, you wouldn't even have this conversation.
My God.
So, you know, again, sorry, the boys.
You truly did burst all my bubbles because now
facts.
I have to learn how to cook all over again.
I want to say facts.
My God. Okay, so we get that. Let's get the good, juicy macaroni. Just before you go, let's help somebody with macaroni.
Macaroni, one of the things you have to do with macaroni, and to be honest, I'm not I wouldn't say I'm not the best, but I'm not as confident in my macaroni with other things.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the tips that I would say that help you to make amazing macaroni is, again, we try to overthink what is Bahamian sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need 16 cheeses in your macaroni.
Man, but that tastes good. I heard someone with
so
15 cheese and it was the bomb.
Nope. After a while, all cheese really tastes alike. So you and your 67 cheese macaroni, come from Rania. You're doing too much.
No, I've had the best macaroni in the world.
That's not Bahamian.
And they use like 5 or 6 different macaroni angles.
That's not Bahamian.
And it was the bomb.
It's not Bahamian. That's number one. Number two, you use ready cut macaroni.
Yeah, of course.
Not elbow. No. I mean, not all these penny and all these other different versions.
No, that'd be no.
The next thing is you have to overcook your macaroni.
Okay.
If your macaroni is al dente, or you could still see the round in the middle and all that. Mm-mm.
Ain't ready.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to cut the macaroni and see holes. That's not Bahamian macaroni. That's not Bahamian macaroni.
Okay.
And please, no matter the price, no matter the work, and no matter whatever it is, please grate your fresh, hard, sharp New Zealand cheddar cheese for your macaroni. Don't try buying pre-graded craft. Come on. That ain't
That's
the same
laziness,
thing.
Man. Don't
no,
do that.
No, that ain't the same thing.
No,
that don't even
it wouldn't
melt
taste
properly.
Good. No, it wouldn't. Yeah.
And the last thing is, for Bahamian macaroni, please stick to using evaporated milk.
Yeah.
There's a reason behind that. There's a slight sweetness. There is a richness of the milk that is, you can't substitute that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to make macaroni with almond milk and them kind of things,
don't do it.
And follow me.
Don't invite me.
Don't even call me. Because there's some things just don't eat.
No.
If you can't, if you need to make dairy-free Bahamian macaroni,
Don't make it.
Please, this it's okay. It's okay. Put yourself in timeout. Because absolutely not. And then you're wondering why your pan of macaroni stay there.
And everybody else
no,
won't
because eat. That, no.
Nobody
mm-hmm.
wants to eat
no.
that. I got you.
The cheese ain't melting that.
Someone says browning makes the rice sticky. Okay. All right. That's good. All right. So listen, just before we go on a break, well, we're going to go on a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about catering. We're going to talk about how to, you know, call whomever you would want to in advance. You can't wait the last minute. We're going to talk about the etiquette of it all, you know,
right.
what to expect, what right. you should, the questions, the right questions to ask the caterer,
yeah.
you know, and all, et cetera, et cetera. So let's take a quick break so we can get back on and get those answers.
You need to turn up the volume. This message is for you.
Where are you in your dream business? Have you published your book as yet? Do you feel fulfilled in life? Need help with time management? Or perhaps a breakthrough in your marriage? I believe we can help. At Your Lane Life Coaching, our professional team will help you discover what you really want and take you from where you are to your desired outcome in your life or marriage. Fulfilling your goals is important to us. Call us today at 376-8689 or visit our website at www.yourlanelifecoaching.com. abacoaching.com.
Your Lane Life Coaching, discovering pathways to progress.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Listen, I am getting some messages. I'm going to read a few real quick before we talk about catering. Someone says, you put heavy cream in your mac and cheese.
I mean, that's a version. But again, we're talking about authentically created Bahamian food. Mm-hmm. That is not authentic. Bahamians don't use heavy cream. That's not us. That don't have nothing to do with us.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Hanna. Could you tell Chef that I feel even if each island have different additives in their various dishes, it can still be called Bahamian because they are all on our islands called the Bahamas?
Yeah, of course. But that's not the point. The point is each island is very specific. And so you have to make sure that you don't just lump all of us into one basket because it's easy to do that. So, yes, on a broad scope of things, it's very Bahamian. But again, Kong salad, that's the perfect example.
Different
Kong things. Salad. Yeah. You ever been to a restaurant here in New Providence, in a restaurant or in any kind of experience and readily got mayonnaise in your Kong salad?
No.
Okay, then. So that's my point.
Not at all. Here's another text that says, hi, host, I didn't get your name. Hi, I'm Coach Trish Hanna. When you cook in long grain rice after frying all herbs, you put 1 cup of water to 2 cups of rice using the same cup. Your rice will not be soggy. That chef, he changing the whole episode. We cook Bahamian. He sound foreign cooking.
Yeah, well, see, again, these are techniques that assist and help. And they're, again, from island to island, that varies.
Different, yeah.
There's some islands that they put the rice in first, some islands that they put it in after the water. But again, I'm giving you sound technical advice that'll help you. The question was, how do I not have soggy rice?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the best way not to have the soggy rice. The
friendly rice.
Yeah, that's just good technique.
Okay, someone says, chef got me rolling on the floor.
Because chef is telling the truth.
Someone say, have a great day, Coach Trish. And guess it's work time. It's going to work. Okay, so let's talk about catering. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about, you know, what do we do? How soon in advance should we call a catering service? What should we be asking? What are some of the questions that we should ask? And what should we be expecting from them?
Well, two of the main questions you get when it's catering is, I think the number one would be price. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I tell guests, clients, customers, whatever you want to call them, an at-home dining experience or a catered experience typically costs you 3 times more than it does in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So if a plate of food costs you $10, in the restaurant, if I bring that same experience to you at home, you should be looking to pay $30 for that experience.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times people want to have so much, for very little, and that doesn't work. You need to make sure that you have realistic expectations of what that is. Everybody goes to the grocery store in the Bahamas. We all know that food is expensive.
Yeah.
But now you're not just asking me to buy the food. You're asking me to prepare the food. You're asking me to package the food. You're asking me to deliver the food. And you want to have that at the same price as you have in a restaurant. That'll never happen.
No.
So you just need to put away with that myth 110%.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way for you to think about food pricing in a catered experience is minimum you're going to pay about 3 times if you were to sit down in a restaurant. Because you come into the restaurant is there for everybody. I'm bringing a restaurant to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you have to think about that.
Mm, there's private services, personal time,
yeah,
and all this other stuff. What else do you think that people should know when having to reach out to catering services?
Well, definitely one of the other things is call ahead. Book in advance. Last minute bookings are not the best because you put people in a position where they may not be able to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't like to say no, and then they may give you something that is not the best. And so that is one of the things that I would say, book ahead. Anybody who's having a Christmassy event, that should already be locked in.
Right.
There's no way you're still trying to say, you know, looking for Christmas. Same thing with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should already be locked in. Now, on the flip side of that is, one of the things that I want people to start holding us in the food service industry accountable mm-hmm. for is asking their caterer for health certificate or food service handler's license permit certification. 110%.
Sure, because when the people cuss you out,
I don't care. I don't care. Because it's facts.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, you could kill somebody.
That's right.
We're in the profession where we are the reason why most illnesses exist.
Mm-hmm.
Food.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not handling it safely, if you're not doing it in a safe environment, in a clean environment, then you shouldn't be doing it. And you are responsible to make sure that the food that you are serving your guests has come from a safe handler.
I agree.
And if you don't do that, then, you know, you never know what can happen. And if you don't have, if you're certified, you don't have no problem sharing that. That shouldn't be something that makes you upset. And everybody is supposed to be able to present that.
Okay.
So you should be able to ask.
A texter says, why does catering go up at home? Gas don't cost 3 times as much. The math ain't mathin'.
Why does catering go up? I don't. So they don't want the person to make no money. I don't understand that. That's, again, catering ain't for everybody. You're going to bring a restaurant experience to somebody. And that is what it means. You got to bring all your chefers. You got to take them back and wash them. You got to have staff. They got to bring it and take it back. It ain't staying in your house. And for the most part, that's like going to the restaurant. When you go to the restaurant, you are there. They washing the dishes right there
mm-hmm,
on property.
Mm-hmm.
I got to bring my dishes to your house,
mm-hmm.
and I got to take my dishes back wherever I do them and clean them.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be practical. If the math ain't mathin, don't order
don't
the
use it. Exactly.
Yeah, no problem.
I agree with you.
It ain't for everybody, and if you don't feel like that's something you want to do, then that's fine.
Yeah. Well, to each its own.
Yeah,
and so
for sure.
If you right,
100%.
The prices, of course, you purchase
yeah,
things
and you
based
gotta
on
make
your
money.
Budget.
That
right.
is your business.
Right.
So you're in it for a profit. You ain't just there to make sure that you eat good food at your house. That,
no.
Absolutely not.
No, we have about 10 minutes left before we close. And so, hello. So I just want you, Chef, to talk about any little things that we may be doing or not doing as far as preparing for the holidays as Bahamians. Any last minute tips that you want to provide for us?
Oh, for sure. You know, one of the things that we need to do is think about the full meal.
Right.
Think about it from start to finish. Think about desserts as much as you think about the turkey.
Yeah.
Think about portion sizes. Make sure you don't run out. Make sure you don't have too much. where there's wastage and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Think about how you can have the best experience for all of your guests. Don't just think, oh, it's family, so it doesn't matter. It matters. Mm-hmm. And so make sure that you have a great balanced experience from start to finish so that you know your people have a really good time. The holidays is a time of fellowship. Yes. It is a time for us to all have fun, relate with one another. And, you know, that's where food comes in. Food brings us together. And it's one of those things that if you do it well, it becomes a huge part of the memory. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody can remember who made the absolutely amazing potato salad.
Oh, yes.
And don't put your potato salad in the fridge, please. Sorry.
What? I'm learning everything.
French potato salad don't taste good.
What?
So we're supposed to mix that fresh.
Because it has the mayonnaise in it. You want to keep it in there.
No, that's supposed to mix fresh. French potato salad and ready potato salad is two different potato salads.
Listen to me.
Sorry.
You done messed me all the way up.
Well, you know, that's why I am.
You have any cookbooks?
I'm working on one right now, actually.
Please?
Yeah, I'm working on one. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
Okay.
It's going to be after all these years. I've been kind of dabbing in it, blah, blah, blah. But I actually literally last week started to put all my recipes together, put everything pen to paper, and we're going to make this absolutely amazing.
Please.
Yeah.
I have one Bahamian cookbook, and that's from Lady Darling.
Yeah.
Sir Clifford Darling.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's my only little thing other than what I've learned from my grandmother and my mom. I ain't nothing else. And you come right here and unlearn everything. I don't know what to do.
Well, again, you know, just ask your parents, ask your grammy, ask people who've been doing this for a while about it, and they'll tell you these are facts.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. One of the things that, you know, we are very oral people.
Yeah.
And so we believe that you have to record these recipes.
Yeah.
There's people in this country who have been making amazing food for such a long time, but nobody has written it down. Nobody has recorded it. And as this generation, I think it's our responsibility to take that and record it.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the biggest myths in food, especially in the diaspora, is that our ancestors, our grandmothers, etc., they didn't have recipes,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't use measurements. The problem with that is they did. They just didn't use the traditional measurements.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother had one cup, which she used to make her bread every Thursday. It was one
cup.
Of them SO cup with the tiger on it, and the tiger was then a wash off.
Mm-hmm.
It was a leopard by then. And that was what she used to measure with.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't use a scale, but she used a cup.
Mm-hmm.
She had a pot which she used to make her rice with.
Mm-hmm.
I swear my grandmother, if she had to go somewhere, she would take that pot with her. Because it had one little notch to the top.
Right.
And she knew as soon as I get there, that's all I need. So they had measurements, they just didn't have traditional measurements.
I love that.
And so we now are tasked with making sure that we could take that and then translate it. Because if you look at, you know, some of them wrote down some stuff, little cue card, little books with recipes in there. But then it say things like, season it till it tastes good.
That. I'll put a little dash of that in there. What is a little dash?
So now we got to take that in. Translate those to working recipes.
I have never seen my grandmother use any form of measurements. I don't even know we had at that time
a
measuring anything in there. Everything
but I'm telling you, she had one
expert.
Spoon. She had one spoon. She had one something that she always used to use, and it's the feel of it as well.
Yeah.
And they could tell you that is what they use to measure with.
Yeah. Listen, so we're closing out. We're closing. Let me just take this real quick. Your Lane Talk Show, Coach Trish. Good afternoon.
Snacky and the wife. I want to ask Chef something. Chef, this Bremen Darling facing now. You talked about all those tasting and stuff what you got to do, right? What about measurement of sodium? Because, you know, people could get high blood pressure when they're going to put salt in everything.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, that is a part of it. The problem with Bahamian food is we put salt in it until we could taste the salt.
Mm.
Salt is supposed to be a flavor enhancer. So it's supposed to be at the background, not to the forefront. is like when we say things like high season, that is absolutely not a culinary term. High season is salty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. If you, but we use it like it's okay. Or it was just little high season.
No,
you have a whole restaurant and you saying your food was little high season, but your food salty.
Not only that, if you got a five-course meal, right?
Right.
Everything has salt.
Right.
You're trying to give somebody high blood pressure.
But again, if you're doing a course meal, you have to understand how to balance that out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand how to take some items and move them around and do stuff like that. So, again, that is a part of being a good chef. You have to be able to balance that. Mm-hmm. But just remember, there's no such thing as high season.
Thank you so much, caller, for to all the callers, really. All the callers, all the texters, those who have the Facebook chat lit right up. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Chef Simeon, thank you so much. But before you leave, sir, can you tell the people how they can contact you or reach you, your Facebook?
My website, www.simeonhalljr.com. It has all my social media links on it, contacts to my team and myself. Everything is there. So www.simeonhalljr.com. Everything is there. Recipes, tips for the holidays, all of that is on my blog. If you just scroll through it, you'll see tips for making good peas and rice, etc. I don't have as much recipes as I do have procedures and tips.
Okay.
Because, again, there's variations.
Right.
The way that you do it, the way that I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I give you core understanding so that you can be better at what you're doing.
I love that. Yeah, y'all know I can be right there on that. Those tips, right? Because, you know, everything that I learned then, I'm going to have to try to redo because I don't know. He just messed me all the way up on the show today. Listen, so this show is episode 153, Holiday Menus and Festive Flair, and it's brought to you by Your Lane Life Coaching. That's www.yourlanelifecoaching.com for your life and relationship coaching. John Shoe Store and Accessories, Airwick, distributed by Thompson Trading, Tropical Gyros, and Children's Dream Journal. Of course, you can find the Children's Dream Journal at All Seasons Book and Gift Center, Palmdale Shopping Center, and on Amazon. So thank you to our listening audience for just being real, man. Thank you to Chef Simeon Hall Jr. for just, you know, his busy schedule coming here on a Sunday on Your Lane. He has added value to this show, and we want to thank you for being a part of our show today.
All
right, to our new listening audience, I pray that this is not your last time. I pray that you will continue to listen and tune in on Sundays with us. We start at 3:30, we end at 5. The show is to empower, educate, and encourage us all. I used to say women, but clearly we got a lot of men tuning in as well. So we're going to encourage, empower, and educate the Bahamian folk, all right? And so I want to say happy Sunday to all of you. I want y'all to stay in your lane. And guess what? Peace and flavor. Bye-bye.